Okay. Good morning. This is January 12th, 2014. 14 years longer than we were told we were going to live or have civilization as it was. And nothing seemed to change except we just continued to get worse and worse and worse. We are going to look at something I've talked about before, a couple things here. And yet you realize that when you get older and you get into this thing more and more and more, you keep finding more and more verses that could have been used in that particular sermon. And back in the earlier days, I would do my sermons for hour minimum, hour 15, 20, and a ton of stuff. But I also knew I could watch the people out there. They'd be flipping their pages. They'd be learning. They'd learn where their books in their Bible were, because we had, I think we averaged out to be about 75 to 80 verses per sermon back in those days. If you ever go back to the sermons in the past, boy, I sound younger, and I'm even faster, and tons more stuff. So I thought I'm going to do this again. Paul's, I call it now, I think I got the right word, alliterations. The alliterations, all the words begin with the same letter, and we're doing the letter P. And I was going through these things, I recognized, you know, there's more. Now I remember there's more. Ah, there's more in this one too. So I'm going to say that when I get done with this thing, you might know of some verses that I didn't use, that you know of, that would fit the category of the alliterated Paul letter P. So we're going to look at Paul's pronunciations, preservation of Paul, purposes of Paul, the prayers of Paul, the personal persecutions of Paul, and the price we have to pay to follow Paul. And no, relax, I'm not going to do all of it this morning. Although I could just sit here and go through the whole shebang. Anyway, that's some of the stuff we haven't gotten. You know, we think that we get away from religion and we get away from the ways they do things and all that. But here we are on Sunday. I don't want to go too long. So we're still under the grasp of religion in lots of ways here. I was thinking of doing a totally different approach one of these days, but I've bounced back. Now I see if I bounce up again or do I bounce off the edge. We'll see. I have learned that when you're talking with somebody who's about to pass away, as they say, if they're about to die, the day or two before they actually die, they have a real burst of energy and they do pretty well. So maybe this last week of feeling better than I felt for quite a while, at least 2 or 3 to 4 years, maybe I'm just on my little final burst of adrenaline and energy, and I'm going to one of these days. Maybe that's what's coming up here. I don't know north south. I'm gonna undo your red dot north south. If you wanna. Maybe introduce yourself, I guess. We are a Paul-following, King James Bible-only, rightly-dividing type of a family here. And if you're just visiting, you'll probably disappear here in a second anyway, because for some reason people don't want to learn about the teachings of the risen Savior. But then I don't need to get sarcastic, because maybe you want to hear this stuff and you've never heard it before, so stick around, get your King James Bible out. No other Bible will tell you what we're going to tell you here this morning. And listen in. You'll be amazed, not at the preaching, and not at the preacher or teacher, but at the King James Bible when it's rightly divided. So I'll give you another 10 seconds for something to pop up. You might be a one-finger typist like many are, or I'm just going to red dot you and we'll get on with it. You can still listen, but then you just can't text. You can't type back. You can always email me at suzaman@bechtel.com, which is... you can be find it on the website. Okay, well, there we go. Here we go. Let's get started on this thing. So Paul's pronunciations. What in the world is the word pronunciation? P-R-E-N-U-N-C-I-A-T-I-O-N-S. Pronunciations. It means the act of telling before. And Paul said a lot of things that took place later. So I may be stretching how you use these some of these words, but it's alliterated with the letter P anyway. And pronunciations refer to the act of telling something before it happens. I suppose you get into the palm readers and all that kind of stuff. So if that's what that's referring to, for those that are deep into English definitions, then I apologize. But otherwise, I thought that was a pretty good word to start with. Pronunciations, and with no presumption. We're not just, you know, we're not assuming this kind of a thing. We know this to be true according to the Scripture. So here are a few of them. Here are a few things that Paul mentions, and they eventually happened, or we know they still will eventually happen. For example, and this is one of those things, I know I'm not giving them all on this in the session here. So if I leave some out, which I know I will, and you know of them, you email them to me, and I'll mention them next time and get them on the website and everything. But let's go to Acts chapter 27. And this is one of my many favorite stories. True story? Well, of course it's a true story. It's in the Bible. It's not a parable. It's not a there's a place in Rapid City, South Dakota, it's called Storybook Island, where they have all these nursery rhymes and all these little cutesy little kid stories. Well, they've got Noah in there in on the ark. And well, Noah is not a cutesy story. Noah and the ark is a true story. This, why would it be in there? You know, kind of a thing. And this is where Paul is on that ship and it gets destroyed, et cetera, et cetera. And I could do a sermon on this thing. I don't know how many hours I could talk about this chapter here. But let's look at verse 9. We're going to, if you haven't read the whole story, then just read it from 27 to the end. It's so exactly how people's lives are today. They're either they are shipwrecked, or they're heading for a shipwreck in their life, or the shipwreck they've had, they're in the water, treading water. Are they treading water on a piece of the ship, or do they know how to swim? Which, you know, it's just, I could do a whole sermon in that chapter. We're looking at verse 9, for example, here. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, we talk about that, but not now. There's a certain time of the year that they call that, was called the fast, was now already past. Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading or lading of ship, but also of our lives. How many times have we been preached, or have people been preached to, you know, we get the Gospels, we get the Old Testament, the severity of God, we get the Hebrews to Jude stuff, and that's the books for the tribulation. Those things are written to us. But Paul is very clear that he Paul will warn us, will warn people that turn to the risen Savior. He will warn people about their lives, their walk, their works. Works don't get you to heaven, but they give you the rewards of as part of your testimony. And God said, that's a reasonable thing I can ask of you for all that I've done for you. So Paul admonished these guys ahead of time and said, listen, we're going to have some trouble here. This ship isn't going to make it. Our lives are a danger here, which they are. Paul talks about that. Nevertheless, and this is what happens, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. That is how it is today. I spent, I'll bet you, 3 or 4 hours Friday after school to the evening talking with one of the kids in my band, an eighth grader. And I went through so much stuff, and it was, I do that. I put the steaks on the table along with the lobster, along with the fish and the swordfish, you know, and the hamburgers and the mashed potatoes and a bunch of French fries. I mean, I put the whole buffet on your table when I talk to people. I just can't stop. And I even say when I'm doing that, I say, man, I'm just telling you too much. This is more than you can fathom. They'll ask a question and boom, I go on to stuff. We talked about music. We talked about, I mean, Paul and the whole thing, right? Divided the King James Bible. And I hope very much that this person listens and goes home and checks it out. Their family has a King, all they have is a King James Bible. They're nice people. And And yet, the oldest child in that family, I talked about some things to last year, and then she turned on me at the school. I don't think this one will. But you know that I gave that kid enough stuff that I could be done. Monday, superintendent can have me come in and say, listen, what are you doing? Talking. Well, first of all, it's not on school time, and they ask questions. So it's not going to happen, but it could. And or will this student go to this thing? Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. Parents teach other teachers, their pastor, you know, that kind of thing. So those are the things that we got to watch for. Anyway, here's Paul telling this guy what's going to happen. Get back to the subject. Go to verse, okay, we go to 11. Oh, I just want to read the whole thing all the way down. This is what happened, you know, but let's force myself. Let's go down to verse 21. All the things that took place on the ship. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Isn't that something you just don't like to hear? When your mom or your dad or your husband or wife or something says, listen, I told you so. I told you it's going to happen. Well, how many people have we talked to? This sermon is going to turn into a whole series. I can see it already. How many people have we talked to that rejected the Paul thing? And I know, like I say, I know people up close in the family that one of them someday you want to say, listen, are you ready to listen to Paul yet, the risen Savior through Paul? Are you ready yet? You know. So verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, I be of good cheer, for I believe in God, that it shall be even as it was told me, albeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Then you go down to verse 41. Let's go to 42, I guess. 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on board and some on the broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. What Paul said was going to happen, it happened. And he was no palm reader or anything like that. But that was a prenunciation. Paul told these guys what's going to happen. They didn't believe him. They ignored him. It happened. They listened to him. And what he said happened as well. So, there's one of them. Let's go to Romans chapter. There's so much preaching in that chapter. I hate to just leave that chapter. Let's go to Romans 8. Here's something else Paul prenunciated. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So that hasn't taken place yet. Our life should give Christ the glory, without a doubt. But Paul says, listen, eventually the sufferings that we're going through today, oh, come on, they are not worthy. Not just to be compared to the glory later. So there's a prenunciate, you know. Prenunciate, there we go. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I might only get two or three of these paragraphs here done. Ephesians chapter 4. If I wasn't so busy at school, I would type up these notes. I might just copy these as handwritten. I think they're readable. Handwritten, if you could read that, that would be so much easier than typing them up. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till, there we go, it's, you know, there's still some future here, till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a pronunciation, because that's to take place in the future. And that's a fantastic thing when you think about it, because here we are, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 listening in tonight, and Mark's gone, and there's a list of people here. We got Julie, you got your other two sisters that listen in, and there's a whole lot more people that live up. I got an email the other day from someone. I have to pull that up too. There's a lot of people. That's why I call us scattered Christians, because we're everywhere. But we are, we come in the unity of the faith of Christ. Not ours, not each of us having the same faith, same amount of faith. Our faith wavers. I'll admit it, so I think you will too. Sometimes we kind of get whiny and da-da-da-da, and then we get back up to it again. But here, unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We all have that. We can all have that. So we are brethren. We are the family. And Paul, they're perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's all taking place amongst us all, no matter where we all are. Julie, I mean, you go to South Dakota, live in South Dakota, but I get the impression you're like driving all over the country all the time. Let's find out more about that. There's a lot. Now let's go down to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Another pronunciation. Paul says, this is what will happen. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now remember, when Paul is mentioning Gentiles, he's not always just talking to the church of God, which are the Gentiles that are saved, that look to Paul for their direction and for their guidance. He's just talking as other Gentiles walk. And how do they walk? Well, they walk in the vanity of their mind. And this is what will happen if we choose to walk like all the other lost people. I can give you some names and names and names and names of people that have gone this route. They've been to this for years and years, and then life gets real, or whatever they would say, and they go back with their friends and their families, and there's a time to do that. I'm not going to say that we shouldn't do that. So that's a different direction to take with this point here. But if we go back and we live like everybody else out in this world, Paul says this is what's going to happen. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is flesh, erotic or sexual fleshing, the meat, all that kind of stuff, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's where we'll go. No, we know too much. You know, you can forget about stuff eventually. And you can be so caught up with your friends and your jobs and your people and your neighbors and just to be this good person, that if we don't read that Bible and keep up with Paul, keep up with the risen Savior, read some history in the Jewish history, you know, read who Jesus is, you know, in the Gospels, especially the book of John, and go into the tribulation and read what's going to happen to these poor folks that don't believe what's going on today, you know. Fantastic stuff. And if you get into that or get back to that stuff, then your understanding won't be darkened anymore. You won't be alienated from the life of God because you won't be ignorant, you know. I mean, God is still with us if we were saved and we do this. Your heart will be able to see again. And isn't that one of the purposes of Paul? Our eyes being open, but we'll save that for another alliteration here. Who being past feeling, you quit, you give up. Being past feeling, you don't care anymore. And to get into the dirtiness of life. Greed, the whole spiel. So Paul's telling us, that's what can happen to us if we start living like the world. Now, like I say, I know too many that have. I understand why. I realize your life was tough. You're by yourself, or there's other such things taking place in your life. But the sad thing about it for so many of these people, as you walk like other Gentiles walk, they seem to be having a good time. They make a lot of money. Most of them, a lot of them. Their families are happy. Their families are together. Life seems to be peachy for those people. So why do you get? So you kind of get involved with that. Look at us. A lot of us, our families have dumped us. How many out there make a lot of money? How many, you know, churches are growing, building parking lots, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. Their churches are getting tons of money. Where's the millionaire for this ministry? But we're also finding out that these churches that built parking lots and all that kind of stuff back in those earlier church-growing days are now losing their property because they couldn't pay for it. You know, the old concept, if we build, they'll come. Yep. Anyway, that's what will happen. Paul's right. It happens. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. This is a pronunciation. Prenunciation. Not pronunciation. Prenunciation. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, which we are if we follow Paul and follow the risen Savior's teaching, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the position we're in. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, that's exciting. You know, if we really believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God and the words of God, and rightly divide tells us the truth for today, to us today, et cetera, it's all that stuff you heard me say 1,000 times, then someday we're going to appear with Him in glory. That's exciting. But notice in verse 4, when Christ, who was our life. Now, when Paul talks about Jesus, he calls him Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we did a study years ago that almost all the time Paul talks about Jesus Christ, he's talking about the risen Savior by the words, Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospels, it's pretty much almost always they mention the word Jesus. Because he's Christ when he's risen. So when it says here in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, I have to ask people a question, you know. Is he your life? Well, so many of us are going through so many distractions or disappointments or hurts because of the family, jobs, finances, the whole spiel. Let's see here. We tend, in order to survive in these days, I truly believe that Romans 11:22 is telling us that we are not that far from the cutting off. And remember, I'm going to say cutting off, I'm not going to use the word rapture anymore. They're right. The people out there are correct. Rapture is not a biblical word. Fine. And falling away? Yeah, but that's the process of, that's where we are. We are in the time of falling away. And we're just about to hit bottom. And just before we hit, it's like a cat. The feet turn around, but in our case, our feet turn around the other way, and we go out of here. But so many of us kind of shove Christ aside so we can be with these friends, so we can be with these people, so we can have this job that pays better, so we can, you know, and we have to be the Christian in the workplace, no, all this stuff. I guess I can make that into a sermon. But anyway, if Christ is our life, and he is, if we're saved and trusted in the risen Savior, then he is. Now, whether we allow him to, we trust him with our soul, but do we trust him with our feet? You know, do we do the stuff he would ask us to do because of what he did for us? Anyway, if you're risen with Christ, verse 1. Then we're going to appear with him in glory sometime. That's just a wild thing. But don't forget to read 5, 6, and 7, you know. But I won't spoil the party with those verses right now. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. These are still just prenunciations from Paul. Things that he spoke before they took place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. To talk about that sometime too for a sermon. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, Revelation 19, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, Revelation 19. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, boy, we're seeing a lot of that today, aren't we? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned with who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is going to happen. What Paul says is going to take place is going to take place. And he's telling people about it before it happens. Because when it happens, it's too late. So there's that one. Then if we go to 2 Thessalonians, go back over to chapter 1, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, which we are, many ways we're troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not referring to the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the risen Lord Paul's talking about there. You know, when people say, well, how can God be such a loving God and yet send people to hell? Well, he doesn't send them to hell. And then we say, well, they say to us, well, do you want somebody to go to hell? Well, no, not really. But when I see people mocking the Bible and mocking Paul, mocking the risen Jesus Christ, you know, the whole world seems to mock the gospel Jesus, gospels Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I get kind of frustrated thinking, you guys, you're trying to stick up for something that's not even right. The Ten Commandments. Why are you sticking up for the Ten Commandments? We only have nine we got to follow. And with grace, we know we're not going to. Blah, 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 blah. We get into that. But here, he says, he just tells us, listen, rest. Because when Jesus is revealed, verse 9, these people will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Flaming fire, taking vengeance. Wow, what a thing. I guess we can look at people, and you look at them and you think, you have no clue of what's coming in your life. And I've had so many people mock and laugh and hurt and do damage. And I'm just not the butterfly Christian who can flitter everywhere and just love everybody. I'm not that way. I mentioned that because we had a lady like that back when we did the county fair, blah, 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 blah. I'm just not that way all the time. I can't be. These people are going to be, God's going to take vengeance on them. And some of the people, I look at them, I think, well, I'm sad for you, but you know what? The way you're talking and the way you're knocking and stuff, man, you got it coming. You know? So we get troubled over this stuff. We get troubled in this life. We get troubled at parents that do what they do to their kids. We get troubled at people that want nothing to do with Paul, whether it be your wife or husband or family or whatever. Of course we love these people. But, boy, you just keep rejecting this stuff. And I'm sorry, but, you know, God's really going to get you. It's not, you know, it'll be the severity of God again. Right now, you guys are rejecting the goodness of God. Why would you do that? How could you do that? Okay, you don't believe in your Bible, I know. You've had religion all your life. You've been burned by religion. I know. I understand all that. But some people just got it coming. So, rest knowing that God's going to hammer them. So I'll still never forget this one kid in college. Back in Walla Walla, we were street singing back in those days, trying to talk to him. This one kid with long, grimy, greasy hair, just like I used to have, so I can't pick on the kid. He just jumping up and down in my face, and he's just mocking Jesus Christ, mocking Jesus. If what you're saying is true, he was saying, then I'll be able to stand in front of that Jesus. I'll tell him what I think. And he's jumping up and down while he's telling me, and I just sit there think, buddy, kid, you know, you're going to get it. And I'm going to stand there and just kind of like wave to you and say, you know, I tried. I mean, come on, guy. Although that was the pre-Paul days, so whatever. Okay, I know there's more and more. There's just more and more of these things that Paul prenunciated, the things that he talked about that are going to happen, that happened. TBD, or are still yet to happen. So if you come up with some, which you will, you know, send them to me. I'll put them on. We'll talk about them again. There's something else that'll come out of that. That'll tell me that you're studying. You can sit, okay, I'll find some more things that Paul said that have to take place yet. And you'll find, make you study. And I hear from people when they say this, ask questions like this, that means you're studying. Well, good. I'll still pass them on. Let's go to one more, 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. One more thing here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Morning. Good evening. Good morning, Sam. Good to see you there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're looking at verse 3 and 4. Well, that's Titus. There we go. 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, nothing speaks better than a King James Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the way God says stuff, it's just so exact. The time will come, but it's here kind of, it's here a lot, when they will not endure. It doesn't say not believe, it says not endure. Oh, one of the things I told that student was to go home and read Titus chapter 2 if you want to see how you're pleasing God or not. Because I didn't get into, specifics. Just go home and read Titus chapter 2 and tell me what you think Monday. I mean, that's the stuff people don't want to hear. So I told her that. So the word is not endure modesty, things, places we go, things we do, what we wear, where we, the whole long list of things. We can't take it. Well, we can't. We try to anyway. But a time will come and they will not be able to take God's doctrine, sound doctrine. By the way, what is sound doctrine? Well, chapter 2 of Titus. Speak of the things which become sound doctrine. So I told her to go read that stuff. So that's coming, although I have a sneaking suspicion it's here, because people sure can't take it today. It wasn't that long ago when we were talking to people about a King James Bible versus their NIV Bible. And when we'd show them the stuff, they'd go, wow, I didn't know that. And they'd get excited about their King James Bible. So now we've got a bunch of King James Bible preaching churches out there with a bunch of people. They got their nice buildings to park it and printing shops and stuff now. Yeah, they do. And their pastors are living pretty high out the hog and all that kind of stuff. But then, lo and behold, here comes this guy preaching Paul. And see, sound doctrine is what Paul preaches, not what Jack Hiles preached, not what his boys preached, not what Dr. Ruckman preaches. Not what Dr. Gitt preaches. They all preach the Great Commission. They do. It amazes me. But anyway, they can't take what Paul says. I had a missionary, I've told this, I had a missionary come to the church one weekend, and he left in the middle of night, Saturday night, because we sat up all Saturday and Saturday night, and I showed him this Paul stuff, and the guy just agreed. He had to. I mean, that's what it says. And he left in the middle of the night. He had come as a spy from the Ruckman camp, if you know who that is, it doesn't matter, to see if I really was preaching what I was preaching. And I was. And this guy, who agreed with me, so he said, took off and went back and reported to the king down there in Florida that I was doing what I was doing. And then I proceeded to be hammered worldwide, coast to coast, country to country, nation to nation, wherever there was a Ruckman church, I was a bashed individual, which really has about half of what to play for why my family is the way they are today against this stuff. So that was really destructive. But anyway, Paul says that stuff's coming, we're living where it's probably here, and when they're done with this Paul stuff, the goodness of God and that endure sound doctrine stuff, Romans 11:22, the Gentiles are cut off. It's back to the Jews. We're gone and the whole spiel. Okay, that was just a few prenunciations, which means the act of telling before. And I'll say it again. I'm just using that word because it begins with the letter P, and it probably has to do with fortune telling or some stuff like that. I don't know, but Paul did tell us things that are going to happen. He did tell the people in his days that things are going to happen. They did. And so what Paul told us is going to happen, it's going to. Now, to support that, we go to the next category of alliteration of the letter P's, and that is preservation. The act of keeping safe, the act of not allowing decay. In other words, what God told Paul to say is exactly what God told Paul to say. It has been preserved. Well, how do you know that? Well, we take a King James Bible, because I think it's the only place you can find it. In fact, I believe that I haven't read all 500 Bibles, but they all take up the same stuff. We go to Psalm chapter 12, classic place. We go to Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, and it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them," referring to the words. Doesn't take any grammar scholar to figure out that verse 7 is referring to the words of the Lord in verse 6. And the New Bible changed it to them, meaning I shall keep them, referring to the Jews, Israel. It says, "I shall keep them," that's the words of the Lord, "shall preserve them from this generation forever." So, Paul's words are preserved. Go to 1 Corinthians 13:10. I do believe that Paul was given what was coming, but he was not allowed to talk about it. Remember, I think that's 2 Corinthians 12, where he talks about himself, but people don't think it's him. But how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. I do believe that Paul was given some things that he couldn't talk about when he comes. Can you imagine how hard that must have been? Oh, if I could, God, can I not tell these people that you're going to put together a book someday and you're going to make this thing? 13:10, this has to be the King James Bible. "When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And that is in verse 8. Prophecies, tongues, and knowledge, all referring to how God gave people those things in those days. Today he gives us all that stuff in this Bible, King James Bible. That's another sermon or 10 right there. So Paul's words, Paul's verses, all the verses in Romans through Philemon, keeping in mind that 1 and 2 Corinthians even has to be rightly divided to the days of before the King James Bible and after the King James Bible. What took place before the King James Bible between God and people and the pastors and the preachers being given all this stuff in their mind and their heart now comes through the Bible. So we have to watch, we have to rightly divide 1st, 2nd Corinthians as well. Anyway, Sam, for just introduce you to the neighbors we have here. You know Andrea and then Julie, she's from South Dakota. She has two other sisters who have been listening in or been passing stuff back and forth. And then we got Gary and Joyce from Oregon. And then there's you, Miss Dr. Sam. Okay, now we got quarter to. I can stop there. Probably should. Well, I thought I'd do more than that. So we looked at Paul's pronunciations, Paul's preservation. Tonight we will take an even deeper look at Paul's purposes. That'll probably take the evening. And then Wednesday, which they will be here Wednesday, unless there's a meeting or a game, which there isn't, we will talk about Paul's prayers. I'm not sure if any of you have been here long enough. I think Sam was. Andrew probably was. I've heard what we preach about the prayers that Paul prays. You know, we pray for money, we pray for different things, but reading Paul's prayers will tell us the way we really ought to be praying for our families and people and friends, etc., etc. Then we will look at Paul's personal persecutions, and then we will look at, this is probably next Sunday, the price to follow Paul. Somewhere in there, I want to talk about music here pretty quickly. I've asked Mark to play some of my piano pieces that I played out of Mozart or Chopin or whatever, as well as some of the other different hymns for the opening music. So We need to talk about, why can we listen to Mozart? Why can we listen to, can we listen to Mozart? Can we listen to Haydn? Should we listen to Beethoven? I mean, Chopin? I mean, can we? I mean, what do you think? Does that please God? What about Christian music? Is there such a thing as Christian music? Well, I think there's as much a truth to Christian music as there is to, pardon my usage here, of Christian pornography. At least the people in the pictures are Christians. That's how dumb some people would be. Christian music, there is no such thing as Christian music. Especially today. But anyway, we'll talk about that one of these days coming up very soon, because I'm kind of talking about it in school and it gets me charged up. And I'll tell you, the kids could care less. The kids could care less. The kids, not just here, it's everywhere. The kids in schools are not being taught anything. The curriculums that are moving in are going to teach them even less. It's just our educational, unless you're involved in an educational system, you really don't know how bad it is in the walls of these safe gun schools, you know, these safe schools. And that just tells you where we're headed as a country. The reason we are where we are today in our country is because of the schools. So it's going to get even a whole lot worse. So, folks, we will see you tonight, I hope. It is so good to see Andrea there. Julie, who is a representative for Jennifer and Jan, the three sisters. And Gary from North Carolina, Gary and Joyce, and then Sam, of course. And, folks, I know I am hugely behind in my emails. I haven't thanked enough people for their financial support. I haven't answered some of the questions. I haven't just talked to you. And I greatly apologize, but since I've got my energy back, I have to also realize I may have my energy back, but I do not have my younger body back. So it's still been challenging or whatever. But we will talk more about this stuff tonight. And it's good to see you folks there this morning. We will hopefully talk to you tonight. Good morning, I guess they would say. Have a wonderful day.